let me stick a pin there and focus in on some solutions for the particular problem. The caliber of persons coming forward to work in the industry. And as I said, it would imagine, you know, birds of a feather flock together, and the type of persons you have there, people have the impression that as Alvin said, that's the type of persons that a bus driver is, a ZR driver is. So then they come into, how do you break that cycle and get competent, proper drivers and conductors coming into the system? Any solutions we can
put? One of the things, if I may.
Go ahead.
Perhaps the reason why the industry is looked at the way in which it is looked at is largely due to inadequate information. I wanted to say a lack of ignorance, but I can't find something better to say. Many people are not aware that the criteria for eligibility for driving a PSV, you have to be first 25 years of age. Second, you have to have 5 years driving experience. Now, where this age criteria is concerned, there are many competent people that are less than the age of 25. And there are many over 25 people that are highly incompetent. At the same time, if an aspiring person wants to get into the industry and they're 25 years of age, they get the license, they have to wait till they're age 30 to be able to actually drive. Because when you look at the license, you will see the date of issue. And if you go with the rules as they're set out, a lot of people get disqualified because they're not holders of that license for a 5 year period. So technically the average fella gets into, if he didn't come in under the old rules, he has to be age 30. So technically close to a decade has been wasted complying with the system. I believe that the competence of an individual, every person should not be painted with the same brush, and that's one of the weaknesses in Barbados as a society. And essentially, this thing should be done on a case-by-case basis. I've been a part of the training system at Barbados Community College for several years, and we've seen several people pass through the two-month training period and graduate and take a nice pretty picture in a decent suit the Sunday evening. And by Monday morning, back out there doing what we call foolishness. It's because you are thrown back into the system. So because you graduate from the University of the West Indies having completed a particular course in a particular discipline, does not mean that you will comply with the terms and conditions of the subject area that you study, because you may go there the next day and do something contrary to what you have been taught over that period of time. So we have to zero in on the fact that the policy in relation to the setup of public transport in Barbados has been the major enemy of the system itself.
Correct. So we need a change in our policy.
The policy has to be changed. We have to look at this thing on a case-by-case basis. There are people that may have been laid off from driving a drink truck, a delivery truck, that are 25 years of age, that was driving for 4 and 5 years. But when they get the PSV license, they still can't go and drive from the next day after they get it.
Mm-hmm. But my thing is, when you transfer those persons into the system, and as you say, they're thrown into that system, they may not drive the truck like how they used to drive the drink truck. They will start driving like how everybody else driving to make, they can get into the hassle,
My point exactly, I'm saying, if you have 10 bottles of medicine behind a door, and you have 10 people that have a particular ailment, who have the assurance that once they get behind this door, every one of them would get a bottle of medicine to save their life. The next morning, I have 10 bottles of medicine behind the door, but I have 300 people that are ailing. Who depend on it to live? Do you think that 290 can stand up and let 10 go through and stand outside and die?
So you're saying bring a flat rate?
Flat rate of what?
A flat rate pay across the board.
A flat rate pay is not sustainable mm-hmm. given where the industry is right now. The transport board drivers get a flat pay. Mm-hmm. And you should know what that rate is. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent rate, whether the bus work or not, whether the bus go up to...
Whether they pick up two people
if they go from Spicetown to the Crane mm-hmm. with them two people, mm-hmm. they get that flat pay. Mm-hmm. The privately owned operators do not have that luxury afforded.
So what is the solution? That's what we want to get to. What, how do we solve the problem? What are the solutions?
The whole industry needs to be given the seriousness that it deserves. Mm-hmm. Transport to
I
the
want
nation,
some specifics.
I get in there. Mm-hmm. Transport to the nation is like blood to the human being's mm-hmm. body. Okay. And essentially, the first thing that has to be done is to look at the demand for transport and what do we have to supply this transport. You can see if you go on Silver Hill, Wanstead, Silver Sands, that there is an oversubscription of vehicles on those routes. But at the same time, when you step up from VOB and go there by the Fairchild Street bus stand, they got people from St. Joseph that sitting down 3 hours waiting for a bus. Now, if we were mature enough to understand that the transport board and the PSVs should make every effort to work hand in hand, you would have a scenario where the demand is addressed by the supply that you have. So you have 20 people going to Silver Sands and 60 buses carrying them, some empty, some got in two, some got in one, some got in five. But yet you have the same 200 people going to Josie Hill or Chalky Mount in the Fairchild Street bus stand and no buses to carry them, but yet you got a transport board running up to Silver Sands, empty, chasing down the couples that are going up there trying to get the fare. So we need to address first and foremost, what is the demand for transport in Barbados? Can the supply that we have fit the demand? If there is oversubscription, there is immediate need to tweak what we have in order to make sure that the resource of public transport is settled or dealt with on a fairly even basis.
It was a tweak. It was a twerk. It want
tweak might be two words.
Tweak
is a Sunday word. Yeah, I might say twerk tomorrow.
Let's go back to the telephone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Brian Stapps.
Good afternoon.
Yes, please.
I want to say good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I want to give my two cents on transportation because this is one of my pet peeves. I believe that the transport authority need to be scrapped. And I'll tell you why I say this. Before the transport authority was in place, what is happening now is still happening. So they have done nothing. Nothing. Okay? Now, I remember that the Minister of Transport in the BLP sat with a group of us and said that he was going to do something about the ZR stand and all that and set up an office and all that kind of thing, and it never happened. Okay, they're doing something now. I don't even know what they're doing, but they're doing something out in the ZR stand. What is needed in this transportation system is that you need a committee of a pastor, a police, a person that is involved in the ZR industry. You need a committee of a number of people.
Broad base.
That's right. Who can sit and discuss the issues. We have to also get the operators involved. We have a lot of operators who don't like to come to meetings, who don't like to get involved. They just put the guys out there and they do anything. That is something that wants changing. The operators must get involved. I am saying that if that is put in place along with technology, we are not using the technology. We can put things on vans and minivans, and we know exactly what each van and ZR are doing and where they are at the particular time. We need to also get that office set up in the ZR stand so that people can call in and so people can walk it and state what has happened today with them on a ZR van.
My issue with that, though, ma'am, is that as it stands right now, we have a number of ZR operators actually going before the law courts. And it seemed not to be as effective as you would want it to be because they go and they come and they go and they come and they go and they come and the behavior continues. So being able to report, I believe you have to have something after that, some type of follow-up.
No, but once we are speaking about in terms of setting up the office, you know, when the office is set up and everything is in place, they will be reported and taken off. They will not be functioning inside of that ZR stand anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you have a committee who is sanctioned by government, not the transport authority. They're jokers. Jokers. And I said that if the Minister Lashley could not have got this turned around, it would not have been able to be turned around. But I tell you the truth, I wish they would let me run it. Because I'm revolutionary, and that transport system would turn right around. Telling you it would turn around. They're making this thing very difficult. Very difficult in this country. They're making it difficult. When I hear transport board got buses running up St. Christopher and thing with two people. You need to take people off of the Silver Sands route. Too many permits on that route. Too many permits on the Wanstead route. Too many permits on the Rendezvous route. You need to have a balance.
Jackson.
These are all things that have to be done through the office. That office needs to set up and be sanctioned by government and run properly like a business.
All right, hold a minute, ma'am. Mark Haynes, PRO, Association.
Yes. Let me respond to what you're saying. And thanks for having come on the program to speak to us. We have our Mr. Terry Jones here who is going to speak to some issues that you have raised, which we in the industry deem as important. He's our IT guy, and it is interesting and expedient that you have spoken to some issues that you spoke to earlier, reference to having like what we deem it a command center, which Mr. Terry Jones will be executing on behalf of the organization. When the moderator gives way to him, I'm sure Mr. Terry Jones would speak adequately to that, and that would bring into sharp focus the way going forward. Now, the industry continues, I'll go off a bit here. The industry, everybody's knocking the industry, but the industry plays a significant role. The transport board experienced some difficulty in the past couple of months. We all know this. Everybody knows this in Barbados. Barbados knows this. And this industry has been able to move the people along with the transport board. I don't think it is fair that because we have a few, as people deem them, bad apples in the system, you're going to paint the whole industry.
Not a few.
Okay, Corey.
No, it's brass that, so we keep it real here.
Okay. No, it doesn't matter conjecture.
Conjecture? It's experience.
It's experience. conjecture. I maintain that. Notwithstanding all that, we accept we have some persons in the industry whose behavior is not of the best. we are making a concerted effort to ensure that the behavior of the workers is improved, and we maintain that training is paramount in this respect. Mr. Lee would have undertaken training sessions at BBC before he came. You spoke to it, Corey, and BCC. you were trying to give the impression it didn't work sufficiently.
BCC.
My apologies. But we are going to continue training because we deem it to be significant, and we think that training and retraining is important. This industry plays a significant role, and without this industry, Barbados will go FLAT, flat in terms of transport.
Flatter.
let us keep it real. So notwithstanding some guys do foolishness, you just cannot decide to paint the whole industry black, or like a black sheep. Yes, we have to get our act together, but please give us some time. We are working towards that end, and we are taking all the complaints of the public seriously.
Look, Mark, I understand you're the PRO, and there's certain things you need to do, but the first step in actually correcting the problem is admitting there is a problem. If we sidestep the problem by saying it's just a few, when we understand we are at variance with the fact, then we actually avoiding actually fixing the problem.
But I consider that, Corey, that is...
All right, let me get some WhatsApp. They said, this gentleman from the ZR Association knows that some ZR drivers smoke weed openly while operating these ZRs. I know because as a passenger, I've experienced the said activity. This one says, good morning, Corey. This issue is ridiculous. We need to get back island constables on our transport board buses and omnibuses who can have an impact and apply necessary changes needed to our public transport. Where has our moral fabric gone? Good morning, Brastas. So I would like to comment on the bus fare issue, but I'm unable to get through. We're doing a different system this morning, which I think would be beneficial to you callers, is that we'll answer as we're ready to go on, so you don't have to be on the line holding extremely long. Now, this one says, Corey, okay, I don't want to read that one. I don't want y'all to be disparaging to anything said or to the guests. Just let's keep it to the issue. This one says, Corey, we cannot award bad behavior with concessions of any kind. The PSVs need to do more to clean up their act and self-regulate. Total privatization of the transport system is a bad decision. Transport is a public good. The culture is being condoned by most of the owners so long as the money is right. The PSVs can be profitable if they start getting rid of the bad ones. Any reaction to that before we move on? Lots of WhatsApps here.
I'd like to say something in relation to that. Mm-hmm. 15 to 20 years ago, there were about 80,000 cars on the road. The population then of Barbados, I was told, was 276,000 people. 15 to 20 years hence, we have close to 150,000 cars on the road. That means that the demand for transport, given the fact that the population has not increased, you've put an additional 70,000 cars on the road, so you've reduced, you've extended the amount of time it takes to get to the city or to any point that you want to go to because of traffic congestion, number one. But for every car that has come on the road out of 70,000 cars, you have essentially taken 3 people out of the system. So that is at least 210,000 rides by 2 per day. Yet you have seen the PSVs increase from, I think, about 350 to 750 over the years. The reason why they are still surviving to some degree is because the transport board has gone from 320 to about 60, minus the one that burned up during the week.
But 59.
But essentially, what I am saying is that you have a lot less people requiring the service. A lot more people whose goal and aspiration is to own a car, because the transport network in Barbados does not service the need for people to get from one point to where they want to go, unless sometimes they have to catch two buses. And therefore, you know, people want to get to work early. People may have to go cross country to get work and so on. They do not, if, for them to get to work at 8 o'clock, may have to leave home at 5 if they're catching a bus, when they could leave home at 7 o'clock, 2 hours later, to be able to get where they want to go, because the car will take them there directly through the congestion. So unless we start at the very beginning and look at the issue of demand and supply, we're still going around that mountain all the time.
Now, I want to, sorry, go ahead.
Now, what I also want to say too is that the government fully acknowledges the cost of transport. These LRs and minibuses that collect $2 from a commuter, that $2 has to pay for everything that that business needs. It has to pay the staff, has to pay for fuel, which I will put a point there and say to you that as we speak, the cost of diesel is about $2.65 per liter. So actually, 1 liter of diesel costs more than the bus fare that the commuter paying. You have insurance, you have parts, you have tires, you pay VAT, but you are not categorized in the business realm to be able to claim back the VAT that you pay. So once you pay out that VAT, that is it. You import a bus to Barbados, you pay 97.4% duty to get it out of the port. That after the NSR, that was 80.2% before. So I'm saying to you,
so the economic setup of this thing is just atrocious.
It is.
This sounds like a loss making business. Why so many people trying to get these permits, man? This is a loss making business, man.
Because people don't want to break the law. They're looking for something legitimate to get into, rather than jump through somebody's window to earn a living.
But it doesn't sound like it earning a living. It sounds like it making a loss. According to you, all these expenses and the bus fare so low. Well, how are these people making money, man?
There are people that have been displaced, mm-hmm, that perhaps got a separation package, mm-hmm, and I know several of them that pelt the money into public transport, mm-hmm, and up to now have not been
vans?
I own one.
You see now people is trying to say, you any of your vans in Hillaby?
Used to be in Hillaby, yes. Okay. Trying to get vehicles for Hillaby.
All right, I ain't reading that one day, but let me read this one. The manner in which drivers drive, braking hard, sudden, unnecessary overloading, high speeding. What is the cost of a sound system on one of those vehicles? Do you want concession on those too? The workers praise themselves daily about how much money they make. And that's at variance of what you're talking about.
When I started in Hillaby 32 years ago, there were 3 buses on that route.
Yeah.
They probably got close to 10 now. Yeah, and yet, nearly everybody, a significant amount of people between Hillaby and Bridgetown have bought cars.
Mm. So this one says, Mr. Corey, there are 3 buses playing in Hillaby Road. All 3 of them have very loud exhaust systems. In other words, very, very loud and noisy. Mm. Can anybody get someone to quiet them? Mr. Lee knows those buses very well.
Of course I do. And
people are here very dangerous.
I don't subscribe. Mm. If you think that the buses on Hillaby are loud, mm-hmm, you should hear the ones on Spikestown.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially, a lot of there is this trend among some PSV operators, particularly the minibuses, to remove what you call the barrel,
mm-hmm,
from the bus. And that obviously creates probably a 300% increase in the noise. You understand?
You hear them coming from...
And you can hear them coming from a distance.
Black Rock to Eagle Hall, man.
Right. And I'm saying that really, when those buses go in for inspection, one cannot understand why they would actually pass inspection.
Some of them are just to go to inspection, you know. The guys ain't foolish.
Yeah.
Some of them.
But what I'm saying is that we still have traffic officers out there on the road.
Back to enforcement.
Right.
Because it's about 6 minutes before we take a break for the latest, I want to touch on some of the solutions that have been put forward so that we can have something to chew on. Because sometimes people have a very bad habit of listening to a discussion and come away saying, man, they may talk about any solutions, but the solutions are there. And I see it as my job is to underline and pinpoint for people, because sometimes people can't extrapolate what the solutions that put on the table. So we talk about education campaign. That's something you talked about. Looking at issues like these case by case, a campaign for positive drivers after we change the policy, because we don't want them to come into the same system. Rationalization, and I underline that one seriously, because we need to understand how many cars, how many vans, how many routes, how many people that you want to understand the demand. We got to understand the supply so that we can set routes accordingly.
You got to do a study there.
Or pick up a study. There's a guy who sent me a study.
They said one for 80 somebody, $1,000 when I get inquiries. So I don't know.
I understand transport studies have been done. And also using the technology. One of the things I recommended, and I understand it was actually proposed for free by Mr. Gabriel Abed to the government, is actually digitizing the GPS systems of the transport board so that people can use their cell phones to actually know where the bus is, when, and be able to go to the bus stop to improve productivity and efficiency in transport. Well, and it's something that's that, something that correct, and that's something that the public service, yeah, well, again, and I'm going to give way now to Jerry Jones, to use Bart Hayes' word, to talk about that particular solution, because this is something that's free. I use it in my youth group, where we use things. It was Waze at first, but Google Maps actually have it, where you can actually send a link and people can track where you are. So this is not where you can get the money from scenario. It is actually quite inexpensive at the back end.
Yeah, well, we actually have a pilot project they're going right now with some PSVs that we can actually do that. I can actually pull up right now and show you where those vehicles are, and I could send you a link that you could track, you know, to see when the next bus is coming. You know, when we looked at this before...
You say you can actually do it?
Yeah, so I can actually show you.
Let's do it during the news.
Yeah, I can actually show you.
I think it's very funny.
One of the things that brought this on was that... that brought this on was that, you know, you're home and you want to go and catch the 8 o'clock bus. You rush the bus stop. And then when you get there, stand up for hours. So we could really stand home
to watch
TV.
Clothes, press and right? Thing, watch some TV. Yeah. I know, I agree.
100%. So that's where we want to move now to being more productive and giving people the information on vehicles where they are. So we already have the GPS devices in some vehicles. We're able to provide real-time information. We're able to provide the owners with information on whether the vehicles are speeding, if it's being driven recklessly. So that is where we want to go, and that's where we already started. We even have Wi-Fi on board some of the vehicles. We have owners who are paying over $60 monthly to provide Wi-Fi, to their passengers. And if you get in some of the buses, you actually see free Wi-Fi on board. And these are things some of the owners are doing to improve the lives of passengers, because it's a hard call out there. I know some are even looking to improve their vans. They put in USB charging ports and that sort of stuff.
Amidst all these costs that Morris, they talk about, they're adding this additional cost. So they must be commending.
Yes, it's a
I seriously mean it sounds sarcastic, but I am actually serious.
But it's a competition thing too. It don't want to use the crab in a barrel thing, but it's really a camera barrel. So whatever you can do to get the competitive edge over your fellow man, and I think we want to move past just getting competitive edge. We want to move people provide a good service. But if you put 100 vans, I don't even know how much vans they got now, Mr. Lee, on Silver Sands. There's too many vans.
Over 100.
And that is one of the best service routes for the transport board, believe it or not, because they have several vans that pass there, Sam Lord's. That's a well-serviced route, the South Coast. It's a well-serviced route, as it is. And many times you see vans going up the road empty. Couldn't we use some of those vans on some of the other routes where people are in the bus stand waiting for 3 hours? Couldn't we? I mean, this is not rocket science.
Let's get a couple of WhatsApps and y'all can make your notes when we come back from the latest wheel thing. We'll say, Corey, can you check the majority of those buses and vans? The owners refuse to list their phone numbers, so you cannot call them and complain about anything. I like how Zimbabwe government did it to control them. The government allowed the police to clamp and tow them. They were off the road until cases were heard. The indiscipline disappeared overnight. Let's try it here. Well, it's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. More on the public transport and is there fair play in the fair paid here on Brass Tack Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
You're listening to Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. We're talking about public transport, and we're also looking at the fair play in the fair paid. And we're really looking at solutions on this second half of the program until as we go 15 minutes after one. We have Morris Lee of the Association of Public Transport Operators. We have the Public Relations Officer, Mr. Mark Haynes. We have Alvin Jones and Terry Jones, you know, they're
brothers.
Yeah, brothers, brothers in arms in public transport. They're here also to help us to bring some solution. We want to get more comment from you, the public, as we broaden the perspective on public transport. Where can we go? Where are we going? What are the solutions? So guests, allow me to go to the telephone lines and say good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey and panel.
Good afternoon.
Right, I've listened intently to what has been presented, and I think that we can fairly safely say that we have some idea of what could work as a solution in relation to transport in our country, and that would be cost effective for the country. And when we say that, we have to remind persons that the $60 million being poured into transport board annually is coming out of the pockets of the of us taxpayers, and therefore every effort should be made to see what a proper solution would be that would involve saving that money. I am therefore suggesting that we look at how we can get a fully privatized system where the PSVs are the operative system for the transport of public transport, and that would mean that it would be fully regulated by the Barbados Transport Authority. To get on a PSV, you must have a ticket. This would rule out all the hassle that is currently part of what is causing the indiscipline on the bus. If you have to pay, if you have to get on the van and collect a ticket, then the owner can know what his revenue would be. So there would be no need to put the control of the revenue in the hands of the driver. Secondly, in order to achieve this, we would need to really have the cooperation of the owners of the transport of the ZRs and minibuses and buses, so that each segment of the country, and it can be divided into two, would be controlled by two companies, which would be the parent companies of the ownership of the ZRs. This would allow there to rule out all that hassle on each route where five and six vans belonging to five and six different people are doing the same thing and running up and down inefficiently empty. So it would be fully regulated by the Barbados Transport Authority, and the time at which the buses leave the locations would be fully regulated. And I can envisage that because the buses would belong to the same parent company on the routes, a simple thing like a small van running between St. Catherine and Six Roads and then transferring to a bigger vehicle to carry down to town, because this would now entertain complete efficiency. Similarly, because of the ownership now being the same, it would allow the minibus associations, the minibus operators, to provide or facilitate routes that are not currently facilitated to help the ones that Mr. Lee made reference to earlier who are needing to get across. So you need to get across the section.
Cross country,
but nobody's doing that because they currently run into town. But because you are in control of that route, you can now provide a service that would facilitate going across. It would be applied to the transport authority and say, look, we see that there's a financially viable possibility going from Oystens to Six Roads and put slot in that. And the times would be set down and there would be no independent running from there, meaning if the bus leaves at 5 to go up there, there'll be not another one coming at 5:30. If you miss the bus, you know automatically you get a taxi because the taxis now would become a viable part of the industry and transport in the country because you know that you've missed the bus. You would have an app which y'all are already seeking to provide so that people can know when the bus is, which part of the route the bus is. It's fully regulated. This would save the country about $55 million because it would cost probably about $5 million to run this transport authority and to still pay for pensioners and those who use the service free of old age. I would like to hear what Mr. Lee and the others there would say about this proposal and whether there is any aspect of it that can't work.
I want to, if I may,
go ahead, man.
Respond to some of the concerns that you have, and I want to thank you so much for calling and caring about what happens in this country as it relates to public transport. We have gone into what I believe is solution mode because we have obviously looked at a lot of issues that plague the industry in terms of the problems. And when we started to look at the solution, we talked about education of the workers. We talk about the problem with the 25-year-old driver being able to qualify to drive the vehicle. Then we looked at the issue of demand and supply. But one of the things that I want to look at in terms of the solution, there are two things that I want to put on the table. Many people are unaware as we speak that whether the commuter pays $1.50 as a child or $2 as an adult to board a PSV, that serves as the be-all and end-all for that particular business. Many people are not aware that the transport board, as we speak, gets $9 bus fare per commuter. When the commuter puts $2 in the fare box, the government writes a check to the transport board for the other $7. When the school child travels free on the transport board bus, the Ministry of Education pays the transport board the $7 or whatever the rate is worked out at for moving that person. So we have this unfair competition going on where we are called upon to provide this service to everybody at $2 while our competitors getting as much as $9 for moving the same individual. But one of the solutions I want to put on the table would be for us to look at what we call a well-organized scheduled service. Now, right now, the transport board provides a scheduled service, but they get $9 for providing that service. And I understand why they would get the $9, because there are many days, many hours, many routes where that same transport board bus may be three-quarter full or full during peak time, but it has to run on the same route all day, sometimes with no people in it, just like the PSV does. And what I want to put on the table, and I want you all to listen first before you respond. I believe that the privately owned PSVs could be given an opportunity to work within the scheduled service framework for at least $5 bus fare per person. But hear this. The commuter will still pay the $2 to the PSV operator, but the other $3 would come from a government subsidy. And this subsidy that the government would be subsidizing the private sector with is not a subsidy that they have to go and yank that $3 from the public purse to pay the operators. We have a situation in Barbados right now where the Minister of Agriculture announced that government is selling some old property, some old factory yards like Porter's and Hammond's, et cetera, Carrington factory and so on. Those properties have large steel structures. And what I envisage happening to make this work, we can creatively remove those steel structures and build a massive steel structure over the river terminal, over the Cheapside terminal, over the property next door to VOB, where we call the old Fairchurch Street Market. And on top of those structures, having covered everybody, you put on your permaclad sheeting and put solar panels on top of the entire square footage of those terminals. What you are doing then is that from our Father in heaven, you are getting an additional income stream every single day from sunlight that will put the electricity into the solar panels and into the batteries, and you will, from the same bus terminal that we are so critical of, it can be used as an income generating source. And when you sell that electricity to the light and power, take the $3 from where you're getting from the sun free of cost to increase the bus fare to the $5, which will allow a scheduled framework to be set up with the PSVs, because they'll be able to provide this scheduled service whether they get people or not without having to put pressure on those from the lower economic bracket. And I believe, respectfully, I'd like to put that on the table as a solution, because essentially we have wasted many years doing nothing when we have creativity at our disposal and we are not making use of this. I mentioned this to the Minister of Transport. I mentioned it to the Leader of the Opposition. And essentially, I'm just waiting to see if they will embrace this, because in Barbados, our psyche as Barbadians, an idea is not a good idea if it don't come from certain quarters. Mm-hmm. But because I've been involved in this intimately for the last 32 years, I see that as a way out from having to put pressure on the parents for the extra 50 cents or put pressure on the commuters for another $3. You have the money there sitting down waiting to be disbursed. But we got the cash register shut and refused to open it and take in the people money. And that is where we need to go in terms of that. So really and truly, many people don't know that the Transport Board getting $9 for moving people. Over the last 30 years, how many times have any person, any official from the Transport Board made representation for a fare increase? They don't have to.
I want you, before you go any further, to break down this idea of the $9. There's a caller in particular, Lawrence, a.k.a. Portman, a special good afternoon to you. He wanted to know how you came up with the whole $9. I suspect I know, but I want you to put it to the public in terms of how you came up with $9 per passenger.
Well, I didn't want you to suspect. I just wanted you to share your suspicion.
No, but the reason we've been guessing here, expert guests, you have to share their knowledge, about me.
I'm the least of the apostles. I'm nobody, but I don't measure any expert when it comes to
We are the same Moses.
I don't have any formal training in transport. I only have experience. But what I will say to you is that when you look at the revenue that the Transport Board generated, it is far less than the expenditure of running the institution that we call the Transport Board. So then you have to add or top up the revenue that they receive with a subsidy. In some years, it was over $100 million a year. Last year, it was $40 million. And that was just the minute little bit of buses that they had running. But when they had a larger fleet, there are some years that the subsidy was over $100 million. So essentially, when you add the subsidy to the actual bus fare collected, and then you divide that between the amount of passengers that you actually transport, then you recognize that you are really moving people at $9 a head.
Right.
It's just that they're paying $2, but the taxpayers are putting in the other seven.
That was my suspicion.
I hope that my suspicion.
It's simple math. Yeah,
my explanation, your suspicion, mm-hmm. were hand in hand.
Correct, they do. They do. Caller, anything else to add, subtract, or divide? Okay, we move on. I want to get in a couple of the WhatsApps. I mean, we have a lot of them here. Let me start here. This one was a suggestion. I believe that the driving license of the driver should be suspended in the first instance for 2 weeks, and then if the person continues to break the law, 2 months. When he cannot make money to support his family, then he would or should see the error of his ways, and I believe that will curb the nonsense. Let's go back to some of these other ones. He says, "Hi Corey, Mr. Lee's claim relevant to the licensing requirement is not correct. An individual is required to have heavy duty license for 5 years before acquiring the bus permit. The age of 25 is correct, but once you have held the driver's license for the required period, you can require the license and you can drive it. That is what also obtains at the transport board."
But there's some people that are 25 years of age that don't have a heavy duty license.
Mm-hmm.
That aspire to have a PSV license.
But they won't be able to get the permit if they don't have the heavy duty for fight.
No, and from what I understand, once you're 25 years of age, you can go through the natural processes to apply for the license.
That's like, before without the heavy duty.
Without heavy duty.
Right, that's a small point. We can investigate.
And that's not here or there. You have this bar line of 25 years of age.
Mm-hmm. Right? This one says, "Good day, Conrad. I don't agree with your panelists. Owners should be held accountable as well. Drivers get penalized. I hear them with my own ears. Drivers and conductors refuse to do certain things because they don't want to be penalized. You will always have the odd guy or girl, but the message for drivers is coming across. Now it's time to address the owners. They should have their permit suspended, and when their drivers move on to another van owner, he gets warning. Why? Because he doesn't want his permit to be suspended." This one says, "The illusion of misbehavior is a big red herring. There's a problem with discipline. I agree, but the way to deal with it is not to deny the backbone of your transport system." It says, "The government has failed miserably in the management of the transport board. As PSVs were to withdraw their service, the system will crawl to a halt. People deserve better than they're getting from the government. Why don't they penalize the magistrates and judges for failing to take away licenses of repeat offenders?" Good afternoon and welcome, Brass That Sunday. You are on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Corey and panel.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good. Now, I only want 2.5 minutes, and I would prefer if we could speak and then put down your phone in the interest of time, right?
No problem.
Now, I'm a big fan and a big supporter of Morris Lee, right? However, I don't agree with Mr. Lee this morning about the operators, not the operators, the owners, right? With this getting hit in the pocket. I believe that the owners and operators, the owners of these vehicles, meet these Zedars and these yellow buses at particular points, sometime during the course of the day, to take the money off of them, right? And there's no proper complaint desk that the traveling public could complain to the owners. I am saying that I believe the owners to get hit in the pocket when their minibus break the law and put people at risk. That is one. Secondly, this long haul thing about a bus left in Bridgetown and going to Jose Hill, I am saying if the minister or anybody, or I have to apply for a permit to drive, to operate a bus, I want a long haul one. Mr. Lee, this is what you let slip through, that you did not really answer. The thing, the benefit with a long route haul is that you pick up 3 and 4 bus loads along the route, whereby a bus that only going Jackson hardly will pick up another load on the route. Do you agree, yes or no?
Sir, would you consider Silver Sands to be a long haul route?
I would consider Silver Sands a very, very, very vibrant route.
Right, but do you consider it to be a long haul route?
I am saying that Silver Sands is not really a long haul route.
All right, okay. Do you consider
you got people on the road want to get down and want to get
home. Do you consider Bridgetown to Connaughton St. Lucie a long haul route?
Of course it's long haul, and it's got benefits.
When I first got into the business, right? That particular uh-huh. route had less than 5 PSVs on it.
You don't want
to be paid? No, I never. My friend that lives in England now had owned it, Mr. Clark, Terry
right.
Clark.
Right, and I could tell how beneficial Big 25 used to think that used to be from Bridgetown to Spacetown.
But it you was understand? Beneficial, and you know, it was really beneficial back then, although about sphere was a dollar.
Of course.
Remember, but
the route changed.
So I'm saying...
People working on the West Coast.
But the amount of people at that time when Mr. Clark was working on that route, there were about 40 buses working Spikestown. They clustered probably nearly 80 or 90 buses on the route now.
Because the
amount of cars that are on the road and the people that live between Bridgetown and Connaughttown that have bought cars to get where they have to go has significantly wiped out the demand for the public transport.
I beg Corey for 2 minutes, but I just want to put in this little disclaimer, right?
Mm.
I would say the most outstanding operator, minibus owner that I come across was the late Patrick Carter. If you sneeze, Patrick Carter deal with you.
But there are many other operators like Carter too.
Always had a complaint or a number that you could call here and he deal with it right away.
But there are many. There are many other operators like Mr. Carter that usually use very high standards for operating their business. Now, one of the things that we missed out when it comes to the PSV and doing what they're doing, a lot of people hammer the PSVs and rightfully so for the conduct that we see on the road. But there are some transport board operators whose behavior leaves a lot to be desired.
They usually say that those are the drivers that transfer over there.
Right. They use that as an excuse, but at the same time, mm-hmm. when the transport board driver does stupidness on the road, which permit from the transport board are you going to take away?
3 minutes before
you find the minister?
This is Brastat Sunday. Keep it locked to the public transport and is there fair play in the fair paid?
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joins from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brastack Sunday, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. You can hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah. I wanted to call in at the beginning, but I couldn't get to you because I wanted to deal with the bus fare issue. Corey, what you need to understand is that all the permits issued for public service vehicles are issued pursuant to the Road Traffic Act. And therefore, all bus fares should also be issued pursuant to the Road Traffic Act. That was the case under the 1984 Road Traffic Regulations. Regulation 63 dealt with the bus fares. But what you need to understand is that section of the law has been repealed by Section 33, Subsection 3 of the Transport Authority Act. So what has happened is that the prescription for bus fares was repealed. Now, in 2010, when the minister added on the 50 cents, he did not prescribe it under the Road Traffic Act. Because, as I told you, all the permits are issued under the Road Traffic Act. Instead of doing that, he placed it under a new act called the Transport Authority Act, which is not applicable to any permit